Support for NPR podcasts comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. There are few lines of work in which improving your performance leads directly to a decrease in your opportunities and your income. Hustling pool is one such endeavor. Get good enough at it, everybody sees you coming, and nobody wants to play you. Such was one of the problems faced by Danny Basevich, a.k.a. Kid Delicious, the subject of a 2007 book by L. John Wertheim titled Running the Table, The Legend of Kid Delicious, the Last Great American Pool Hustler. I spoke to Messrs. Wertheim and Basevich last November, and for the benefit of our listeners, I asked Danny how he had acquired the nickname Kid Delicious.
In my beginning years of trying to get as good as I can at pool, there was a famous pool room in Manhattan in the Village on 21st and 6th called Chelsea Billiards, and I played this guy named Kid Vicious. He was the top pool player in the city at the time, and I drove into New Jersey with a few of my friends, and long story short, I ended up beating him out of $4,200 in a big-time money match where everyone in this city thought I was going to lose. And when the match was over, they said, Kid Vicious just got his money taken by Kid Delicious.
And no pool player really is at the top of his game until he earns a nickname, I guess.
It seems that way. It seems like you're right. It's kind of funny, but most of the top players in the world all do have a nickname. And I got that nickname when I really wasn't maybe considered like maybe one of the best in the world. I might have been considered a very good player, but I've really earned that nickname just luckily, and everything seems to come together with that Kid Delicious.
Well, when did you first realize, and how did you first realize, that you had an exceptional aptitude for playing pool?
Well, pretty much when I first started to play. I mean, the first day I walked in a pool room when I was about 13 years old, named Elite Billiards, about a bicycle ride away from my home. And I walked in, and immediately I found a great love of the game. And it made me so happy, too. And it was just amazing how much it brightened up my life and how soon I knew I had something special in my hands right away.
John, how did you first learn about Kid Delicious?
Well, the story is I was reading the Wall Street Journal about 3 years ago, and they had a recap of a pool event at Grand Central Station, and just sort of in passing, they had mentioned one of the players in the field. I forget how they phrased it, but it was, you know, a heavy-set hustler from New Jersey named Kid Delicious who made a six-figure income hustling. And then they sort of went on with what happened with the rest of the tournament. And I said, you know, I don't particularly care who won this tournament. I want to know more about the Kid Delicious who made six figures hustling.
Danny, at one point you went on the hustling road with a road buddy who goes by the name of Bristol. He calls you the master of the soft hustle. Give us an example of how a soft hustle works.
I guess the main thing would be, to be able to gamble with a guy and get him to lose his money and enjoy it while you're doing that. Mm. And I'll tell you, most of the time, it might have not even been just hustling at all. It pretty much would just be me being myself. I mean, I would play guys for whatever the money was, whether it was for $10 or for $10,000. And, you know, whether I won or lost a game, I would be laughing the whole time and smiling and telling jokes. And whoever was watching, I'd be, you know, whether I was losing, I'd be talking to people on the side and, you know, and they'd be telling me stuff. And if the other guy played real well or if there was any kind of a big argument or discussion, I always just let it go real smooth and, you know, never get no arguments. And by the end of the night, I knew for sure I was going to end up with their money.
John, do you have a candidate for Danny's greatest day or night of pool hustling?
Well, I think he'd tell you it was when he took $25,000, $30,000 from the Philadelphia mob. But I like some of the initial stories where he was just trying to get the choreography of the hustle. And one of them was he would go to local campuses in New Jersey and sort of pose as the clumsy, overweight freshman. And he would go and buy a school sweatshirt and splatter some beer, some chocolate cake on his sweatshirt, go down to the pool hall, and you know, buy a Coke with a $100 bill and sort of fumble around at the table, and the guys would get on their cell phones and call their buddies to tell them about the clumsy freshman with, you know, bleeding money who was going to lose it all. And then when the stakes got sufficiently high, he would run the table and hustle these slick college kids.
Well, these are cute stories, Danny, but I think we better hear about the $25,000 to $30,000 that you took from the mob.
Well, it was one of me and Bristol Bob's beginning of our trips. We were just an hour from my home in Manalapan, New Jersey, and Bristol Bob said, hey, let's stop at the Boulevard Billiards over here in Philadelphia off the Boulevard. And we walked in that pool room, and sure enough, there was a few dozen railbirds hanging around, a bunch of guys getting in the middle of action, and there happened to be this one big bookie there who was probably like a superstar mafia guy, as you could say. And he was there, and he wanted to bet some of his money on a couple players, and he had himself a whole team of players. And I ended up, throughout the whole night, I played one guy named Dale, say, for several hours, and beat him out of a couple of thousand. And then another 3 or 4 hours later, I played this other guy, Eddie Abraham, who at the time was the best pool player in Philadelphia. And finally, I'm all sweaty and tired, and I think my night is done. And I'm thinking, he's got nobody left for me. I'm winning all his dough. I'm up almost 15 grand, and I'm going to leave. And all of a sudden, the mafia guy says, you got to play one more. And the last guy is a U.S. Open champion, Spanish Mike LeBron, one of the best players who's ever lived, you know, as good as a player as Willie Mosconi. Mm. And there's a certain code in pool, and when you up money on a guy, you can't just leave with his money. If he has another bet to make, you have to give him the opportunity to win his money back. And I would never do anything against the code because I was always an honorable gambler and guy. So we ended up playing that last match with pretty much about all the money I was up. And I killed myself all night long to finally have to play the great Mike LeBron for about 15 grand. And I ended up beating him in a long, drawn-out match where I was losing 5-0. I went in the bathroom. I was practically crying, and I washed my face off, and I looked in the mirror, and something just got me mad and found some strength from within my heart. And I come out that bathroom, and I run 13 games in a row, beating them 13-5 and winning about 30 grand and getting on out of there.
It sounds like you had a Minnesota Fats moment from The Hustler. He goes into the bathroom, he comes back, his tie is straight, his shirt is clean, and Paul Newman is finished.
Sure. That's exactly what it was like.
All right, I got to ask you about the flip side, though, because every hustler has nights that he would just as soon forget, as well as the glorious night where he wins $30,000. Is there a particular misadventure or disappointment that taught you, maybe this isn't something I can do all my life?
I've never been beat playing for any kind of money over, say, like $100, but there's been a few other things I've lost a lot of money at in my life, and there have been times where I've won $5,000 or $10,000 and that next morning, I end up at the strip club or at the casino, and all of a sudden, my pockets are empty, and I don't know what happened to all my money.
John, how much opportunity is there now for a great pool player like Kid Delicious to make a living in any way other than hustling?
Hustling, unfortunately, seems to be a real dying art for a variety of reasons, but you know, there are these message boards now. It used to be you'd win money in Washington State and you'd be in Denver by the time anyone heard about it. Now, by the time the sun comes up, everybody's read it on a message board. And professional pools had a very hard time forming a viable league. I mean, I think Danny would like to, now that his hustling days seem to be past him, I mean, I think he'd like to be a professional pool player, but there just isn't, poker's obviously gotten big and, virtually every other sport has a league where the top practitioners can go and make a living out of it, and pool just hasn't gotten its act together like that. You know, this is not a golden era for pool players.
You can't really make a living as a hustler anymore. You're too well known, and the hustling opportunities aren't there. And John has said professional pool is not too much of an opportunity. What happens next? I know your parents say at the end of the book, maybe it's time for Danny to get a real job.
Well, my dad sometimes says that because I've made some decent money playing in professional tournaments. I guess decent money for a guy like myself. But like now that I got a girlfriend and she's got a 6-year-old little boy, and I'm hoping to have a family of my own. Right now, I give a lot of lessons, actually, which I've been doing really well with them at Empire Billiards in New Jersey and also all over the country. If anyone's interested, they could give me a call. And also, I do a lot of exhibitions and bar mitzvahs and stuff like that besides tournaments.
Danny Vasevich, a.k.a. Kid Delicious, joined me from NPR's New York studios. Danny, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.
I've also been speaking with L. John Wertheim, the author of Running the Table, The Legend of Kid Delicious, the last great American pool hustler. John, it was good to have you on the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for listening to Only a Game. Please check your local listings for the NPR station nearest you to carry our show, and please visit our website, onlyagame.org.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a solar sensing climate control system. Learn more at Acura.com.